Is there a quintessential book of parenting? Well, after talking with New York Times bestselling author Deborah Kopaykin about her insightful new book, The ABCs of Parenthood, and an alphabet of parenting advice, there just might be. Deborah has experienced a gamut of challenging life experiences, from divorce to cancer, and offers solid yet simple and profound tips to help anyone get off the sidelines of parenting and start enjoying it. She has an extensive and impressive bio as well. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Terry. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I read your bio and thought, yep, I want to talk to this woman because she takes life head on.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe life is taking me head on right now. I happen to be going through, you know, sort of a series of unfortunate events. But what's interesting about when you experience sort of one tragedy on top of the other is that things become lighter. I can't explain it other than I kind of look at life as, come get me. I'm here. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Keep going. You're not going to knock me down. And so, you know, I had a crazy summer where I had my cervix removed in June, and then 3 weeks later, really unusually, I mean, in most trachelectomies, only like 0.28% end up in a bleed out, which is what I had. Oh. And so literally my daughter, my 20-year-old daughter, saved my life on July 4th weekend. I was bleeding out, sort of not much in the conscious state of things, and she got me to the hospital and saved my life.
Wow. That is unbelievable. How are you doing right now?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah.
I had two major surgeries this summer, one on top of the other, and so it was challenging getting over that. But what I did actually and this is almost brings us to the book in a sense, which mm-hmm. is that a week after bleeding out, after getting permission from my surgeon to do so, I left and I went to Nepal. And I had planned to go there anyway. A friend of mine, an old friend of mine from last year, had said that he would take care of me because I had really nobody to take care of me in the wake of this first mm-hmm. surgery. So I was at home and I was doing grocery shopping and lifting trash and uh-oh. All the things you're not supposed to do. But when you're in the middle of a divorce mm-hmm. and the children, you know, my one child was at sleepaway camp and my older son was in Thailand teaching English and my daughter was in Israel on a birthright trip. You know, I was literally by myself, and you don't expect that when you get married and have kids to be and have a family of five all of a sudden to be completely alone.
Yeah.
So I went to Nepal and I spent 2 weeks there really being cared for by a good friend who lives in China. And it was kind of incredible to make that decision, first of all. I'm not going to sit in my bed. I'm going to go to this $29 a night hotel in Kathmandu.
Okay.
And it was a fantastic hotel. And just be
recover.
In a place, that values healing.
Yeah.
That's all about healing. In fact, one of the ideas was to go there and sort of test out various types of healing and write a story about it. And what was interesting is when I was on Google Map in my hotel room and I just plugged in the word healing into my Google Map
mm-hmm.
and it was red dots popped up everywhere. So if you need healing, I highly suggest Nepal.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and you know, when you talk about your experiences are really vast, and I would encourage everybody to take a look at Deborah's website as well, because it's filled with lots and lots of information and pretty incredible stories. As we get back to the ABCs, where did that idea come from?
So the ABCs of Parenthood, which is the new book that we have out,
mm-hmm.
Arose from the first book, which is the ABCs of Adulthood, which in of itself arose from a letter I wrote my then 18-year-old son, he's now 22, as he was leaving for college. I suddenly had this impulse as he was leaving for college, oh my goodness, there's so much I forgot to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like an 18-year-old boy wants mom to sit on the foot of their bed and say, you know, by the way, you need to know this and that. You know, they don't care. So I thought, well, I'll just sneak it into a letter. And then the letter was getting longer and longer, and I thought, I can't, this is weird. But let me, if I can divide it into chunks of advice. And then I thought, oh, an alphabet's perfect, because I used to read him the ABCs as a little boy, and here's sort of the ABCs of adulthood. So I took all my chunks of advice, and I organized them into an alphabet. And then I was working at a place at the time called Cafe.com, which was parenting and middle-aged womanhood and all that kind of stuff. It's now transitioned into a political site. But at the time, it was that audience. And we put it up online, the letter that I'd written my son, and it went viral. And so Chronicle, my publisher, decided to do a book. And then we decided we're going to do it with pictures. And I'd originally asked my friend Randy Palumbo, who is an incredible artist, to do the drawings for the book. We thought it was going to be a drawing book. But then Chronicle wanted to do photographs, so we both shot photographs for this. And then the second book, The ABCs of Parenthood, Randy and I worked on together. Like, the last one I had written only, but Randy had never written a book, so I said, well, let's work on this together. You take 13 letters, I'll take 13 letters, and equally with the photography, because we're both, you know, artists, writers. So we each did 13 letters, both visually and textually. And our idea when writing this was really quite simple. Our idea was, who are we to write a parenting book? We know nothing about parenting except for the mistakes that we made. Meaning, we're not parenting experts. We're not psychologists. We just know what we did wrong and what we did right. And perhaps from taking a look, a really good, long, hard look at the things that we did wrong and also the things we did right, we can create a roadmap, per se, for parents who are just getting started. Because I have to say, when I came home from the hospital with my first child, I really thought, what are they doing letting me take this child? There's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
There must be, scary.
What are they doing? So I don't know anything about what breastfeeding, bottle, like, what time am I supposed to put him to bed? You know, so those things you learn on your own, but what you don't learn on your own are the important lessons that we try to put in this book. For example, the first letter, A is for acceptance. And I guess, you know, what I've said in other interviews before, actually, is that if you take away all the other letters of this book and just have the A, that is the thrust of this book. You need to accept your child for who they are. We all have a fantasy when we are thinking about parenthood of what our child will be like or could be like. Absolutely, right? Yep. Growing up, what would my child be like? None of my children came out at all like I thought my children would come out like. You know, my little boy. I know. My little boy who I thought, oh, I'll get to be a soccer mom. Well, no, he hated soccer and, in fact, loved to dress up in Little Mermaid costumes when he was a little boy. And so, you know, he was his own special child. My daughter, who I thought, oh, this will be fun, I can have her do ballet. Well, no, my gendered ideas of my children were absolutely off. My daughter wore all of third grade the same football jersey every single day. And I had to wash it, you know, several times a week because she would wear nothing else. So, you know, and my third child is his own little disco ball of joy. But they are who they are.
Right.
And it's my job to meet them where they are. It's not my job to turn them into who I thought they should be. And this goes to, you know, this goes to the heart of not just parenthood, right? But to all of us.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, and I love this idea of the acceptance, because it's a really sort of a two-way street in terms of parents accepting their child for who they are and for the child to accept themselves.
Absolutely. Because you don't want a child to wish he or she or they were someone else.
Right.
That child really needs to, from a very, very early age, feel okay in their skin. And once they accept that, and once they do feel okay in their skin, that sets the stage for self-acceptance as an adult. And again, I go back to this idea that this is a parenting book, but it's not really a parenting book. It's a book on how to live. So let's take B, right? B is for boundaries. It's important when you have children to respect their boundaries. That goes from anything from when they're in the bathroom, you don't barge in. And when you're in the bedroom at night, they don't barge in. So these are physical boundaries, right? These are the early boundaries. But there's also boundaries such as when a child who's a teenager comes home from school and is sort of grumpy and you say, how was school? And they say, I don't want to talk about it. That's the boundary. They're saying, give me some time here, right. You know, and then you can sort of go into F is for family dinner, which is our idea of what really worked for my family. And I only learned this later in life was Rose and Thorn. And that's a game that you can play at dinner. And you go around the table and everybody gives their rose, the good thing that happened to them that day. Mm-hmm. And everybody gives their thorn, the bad thing that happened to them to that day. And it teaches two things. One, it teaches the lesson of gratitude, because when you express your rose, here's a great thing that happened to me today, you literally feel gratitude for it as you're speaking it out loud. It's not just thinking about it. It's in the act of saying what it was out loud that allows you to feel that gratitude. Secondly, the thorn, when you ask your child, what is the bad thing that happened to you today? Hearing that they were bullied or that they tripped and fell or that they got a bad grade or whatever it is, you know, whatever that thorn is that day, that's an opening to the conversation they didn't want to have when they walked in the door and said, I don't want to talk about it. Right.
Right. Absolutely. And it gives them that space, because that happens for adults, too. It's like if something's really hitting you at that moment, sometimes you need to take that time to sort of do a little processing on your own and then share it and get it out of your head, because if it sits in your head too long, it becomes something, it's a huge monster. We are talking with Deborah Cook-Pakin, and she is the co-author of The ABCs of Parenthood, An Alphabet of Parenting Advice. And, you know, as we were talking earlier and talking about each child being different, what are those ways to read how each of your kids will react or interact or take guidance?
I think that the way to read your child is literally just watching them. How do they react in various situations? So, for example, let me give my daughter as a great example. She was painfully shy as a little girl. I mean, really frighteningly shy. And I didn't know how she was going to survive this planet. Mm. What I watched happen is the blossoming of her own confidence by virtue of me not calling her out for being shy. So, for example, she started taking guitar lessons. She really loved her guitar lessons. And then her school had a talent show in third grade. And it surprised me more than it surprised anyone. I think it surprised her to like hear that she was going to try out for the talent show and perform a song. So I was really proud of her for getting on stage. I mean, this is something I could have never imagined when she was two or three. Here she was going out there and performing One is the Loneliest Number on guitar. And yet when she came home from that performance, she was devastated. She said, it was awful. I hated it. I wish I had never done that. It would hurt me. I can't do that again. And so I said, you know what? You did it. You did that thing. Yeah. And I wasn't going to push her to try again. I said, when you're ready, you will go out there and you'll have that confidence again, whatever it is. Now, she quit guitar. She didn't want to perform ever again. And then her father and I split up. And when her dad left and moved to California, it was just us alone. It was her and her little brother. Her big brother had moved to college. And in the wake of my separation, I decided I was going to take guitar lessons because I'm self-taught, but I really wanted to learn, you know, a little bit more theory. And I started taking these guitar lessons, and she sort of gingerly said to me one day, well, can I join you in your guitar lessons? And I said, sure, yeah, absolutely. So all of a sudden, it was sort of mother-daughter guitar lessons, right? Yeah. Which was also a way to heal from the separation and the divorce. Mm-hmm. And it was also her way of stepping back into her confidence. And it was, again, an incredible blossoming, so much so that the guitar teacher basically said to me after 3 months, I'm sorry, I can't teach you together. She's gotten much better than you, and she's not going to work.
So there you go, Mom.
There you go, Mom. You suck, and, you know, your daughter's much better.
So, your daughter's kicking your butt.
She took over, and then friends of hers at high school, she was at a wonderful school here in Manhattan called the Bronx High School of Science. And so her friends from Bronx Science, who are basically a nerdy school, decided to form a rock band. Mm-hmm. And they asked her to play guitar and sing in their rock band, and she did. And she performed at a place called Webster Hall here in New York City, which is a big venue. And again, it was... had you told me at age 2 that this little girl at age 18 would get up on stage and be this performer,
yeah,
I would have said, forget it, no way.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's... you meet your child where they are when they are,
yep,
you know?
Exactly. Well, I have a little story here. Someone I used to know was in a Target store. I happened to be with her, where a child was just screaming at the top of her lungs. I mean, you could hear it aisles away. And my friend shouted, shut that kid up. I was mortified. So I went into another aisle. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you just did that. And the question is, what do you do when your child's having a tantrum? Because that's got to be absolutely mortifying for mom or dad.
I'm going to give you two stories here about that.
Mm-hmm.
The first story is, I can't remember what actor, and this photo went viral on Twitter, but there was some actor, I'm sure you can find it and plug it into this interview afterwards, but there was an actor who... when his child was having a tantrum, he and his father were both standing over, staring at the tantruming child, because his father had done the same to him, where you just let the child work it out. Because you know what a tantrum is? An inability to communicate. And I saw this with my third child, who spoke really, really late. The other two spoke early, and they didn't have as many tantrums. The third child, it took him a long time to learn how to speak and to speak English, and he just would lose it. And so your job as a parent is literally to stand there calmly, arms down, watching the child, and if passerbys are going to yell at you, you cannot care. You just have to have no shame whatsoever. Let the child finish whatever it is they need to get out, and that is the calm and good and kind way of dealing with it. Now, if you're a bystander to this and it's not your child,
mm-hmm.
I had a moment last summer that was one of these wonderful interactions with a stranger that I'll never forget. I was sitting in an outdoor cafe, and I was having a pizza, and I was by myself, and I was between meetings, and this woman, a young mother, was walking by with her child, who must have been 18 months old, in a stroller, and the child would not sit in the stroller, would not sit in the stroller. She kept trying to get him to sit, and he was screaming and screaming, and she finally just lifted him up, and he's screaming, and she's pushing the stroller, and she looks so overwrought. Mm-hmm. And some of the patrons at the restaurant looked horrified, like, ugh, that's such an annoying noise.
Yeah.
And I saw her, and I really saw her. And I got up from my table, and I went over to her, and I said, you are doing the best job you can right now, and it's all going to be okay. And she looked at me, and she just started crying, and she said, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
And it was just like she needed that. Somebody needed to see her and see what she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we could all be a little kinder in our interactions with young mothers and mm-hmm. young fathers who are experiencing that all too common child tantrum,
mm-hmm.
we'd all be a little bit better off. You know, it's just, it's normal. It's normal. It's just a child who can't express themselves.
Right. There you go. That's the perfect way to look at it. We're speaking with Deborah Kopaykin. She is the author, co-author of The ABCs of Parenthood, An Alphabet of Parenting Advice. And I get one last question, because I think a lot of people feel this, especially when they've got young ones, is, you know, how do you find that balance between being a parent and being a wife or husband or romantic partner? Where does that work in? Because, boy, among diapers and screaming and bath time and work and, you know, you still have to have time for your partner.
Absolutely. When my children were very young and... In an era when my marriage was not faltering for other reasons, not because we weren't getting enough romance from the kids, I made time every week on Thursday nights for a date. So I, you know, people make car payments, they make insurance payments, they make, you know, we pay for our cell phones. To me, the money that you pay for romance once a week is important money. Mm-hmm. Meaning you find a kid in the neighborhood. We would always find a young kid who has lived in our building who would do it for $12 an hour or $15 an hour, and we would go out for, you know, sometimes just a walk around the block mm-hmm. for an hour is mm-hmm. all you need. But it's, if you don't get out of the house when you have young children, you will literally lose your mind. It is absolutely mm-hmm. vitally important. And this is not only for romantic partners who are raising a child, but for single parents as well. Mm-hmm. I really believe in, you know, leaving the child alone, especially if you're the, you know, the full-time parent. You know, for the full-time parents out there, they have to get out and live life in their adult skin. And that is everything from having a romantic dinner with a spouse, or to having a lovely meal with a friend, or anything that gets you into the adult world again. Because parenting is really hard. We forget. We don't acknowledge that. We don't acknowledge the actual physicality of it. It's not just emotionally hard. It's physically hard, especially when the kids are babies. If you're a mother and you're breastfeeding, that's a lot of wear and tear. Yeah. You're lifting that baby. You're changing diapers. There's just a lot of physical work that mm-hmm. goes into parenting, and it's important to pay that money, whether it's an hour or 3 hours once a week, to say, this is my time. This is my time with my spouse, or this is my time with a friend. And spouses can really help each other out, too, in terms of, you know, if they have one night a week for each other, well, also you can each give each other one night a week with a friend. Like, you know, Wednesday mm-hmm. night, that's sure. your night. You go out with your friends. Tuesday night, that'll be mine. I'll go play poker with my buddies or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Be kind to one another. Give each other the space you need.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the ABCs of Parenthood, an alphabet of parenting advice by Deborah Kopakin and Randy Palumbo. Deborah, thank you so much for your time. I mean, we could go on here, but unfortunately we can't.
Thank you, Terry.
But I really appreciate your time, and I hope I get to talk with you again.
Oh, I hope I write another book and we can talk once more in about a year and a half. How about that?
That works for me. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.